We're going to this morning open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We were in 2 Corinthians last week, and we're in 1st, I guess I did that backwards, but we're in 1 Corinthians this week. We've been studying some of our core values as a church, what makes us who we are, what are the priorities that we have, what is it that guides our ministry. And this morning we come to a very important core value. I guess they're all important. I say that every week, but the core value of fellowship. And we see that expressed in our passage this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read verses 14 through 26 this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to start reading in verse 14. The Word of God says this: "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry that you have conducted in Christ, not only bringing us into a relationship with you, Father, but bringing us into a relationship with one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we cherish these relationships. We value being a part of a church family. We thank you for the many, many people that have helped shape our lives, helping us to be the people that you want us to be. And Lord, what a blessing it is just to see the positive, wonderful, godly influences you place around us. And we thank you for the opportunity to be a part of reaching to those around us and encouraging them. Lord, we thank you for this church. We pray you would help us to grow, grow spiritually, grow together, grow in you, Lord, and even grow as we reach out and draw more people into this fellowship and into a relationship with you by preaching the gospel. Lord, we just pray that you would open our eyes as we examine these verses this morning. Help us to appreciate the gift of fellowship you've given to us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, our kids have recently gotten into putting puzzles together. And we have a number of puzzles. We have princess puzzles. We have Paw Patrol puzzles. If you've seen Paw Patrol, these cartoon characters that save the day. We have, I guess probably a puzzle for many, many cartoon characters. We have a 3D puzzle somewhere in the closet. We haven't really gotten to that one yet. It's a little more complex. And our kids love it. We haven't quite tackled the big 1,000-piece puzzles that you've seen. We stick to something a little more at my skill level with 10 to 20 pieces. I bet the kids could do it, but I'm holding them back right now. And especially Ariana, she really has the patience for that. The others are, they think it's okay, but she can really sit down and spend time. And she likes to take the box, dump the pieces, into a pile on the table, and then start to sort them. Here's the edge pieces. Here's these color. These pieces have the same color. These pieces are the same shape, and just kind of seeing how they all come together. And she's really good. You've seen some children put puzzles together, or maybe you are like this, where, you're like, this piece is going to fit one way or another. I'm going to make this happen. But she doesn't do that. She sees where it fits, where it belongs, and it just clicks together. And you know, the best feeling of all is when you put that last piece into place and you can see the picture and you see, oh yeah, yeah, the picture here is the same as the picture on the box. It matches. It's the same. The thing about puzzles that's really neat is that every single piece of the puzzle is essential. You know, you don't just go through the box and chuck different ones aside and say, oh, I don't think I'll need this one. Oh, I don't like that shape. You know, if you do, the puzzle is going to be incomplete. There's going to be gaps and holes, and it just won't be what it's supposed to be. And also, if you are missing, isn't that frustrating? You know, you spend all that time putting it together, and then you find you're missing one piece. And what do? You jump out of your chair, and you look on the seat. You look on the under the table and on the floor, and you don't stop until you find it because, you know, you want to finish that puzzle. And without that one piece, it just isn't complete. Well, in a lot of ways, the church is sort of like the puzzle. There are many people, and we're united together as one in Christ. And in the church, there are no unnecessary pieces. Each person is special, and the church wouldn't be the same without them. We're not simply a group of people who happen to sit next to each other for an hour Sunday morning, but we're part of a family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a word for that in the Bible, and it is called fellowship. And we often associate that word with potlucks and special events, and those are very good. We enjoy those times. There's nothing wrong with potluck dinners. But fellowship is a lot more than just sharing a meal together. Fellowship is partnering with other Christians to live out our faith. We worship together and serve together and grow together in the Lord. We're able to experience fellowship because when we come to know Christ as our Savior, the Lord not only brings us into a relationship with God, but He also brings us into relationship with the family of God. And we become part of that family. We have brothers and sisters who are able to relate to each other in a new way. Every once in a while, I hear somebody say something like, oh, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. And I say, well, that's true. You know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. But if you are a Christian, you need the church. And the church needs you. Why would we try to go it alone when we can walk together through this journey of life? If believers have been joined together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should seek fellowship with one another. This is one of the core values of Grace Gospel Church. Church family is important to us. We all need fellowship in the body of Christ. That's one of the reasons we have small groups and Bible studies and Women of Grace and the home group Tuesday night. It's one of the reasons we plan special events like chili cook-offs and bowling nights. Because as we spend time together, friendships are forged. We get to know one another at a deeper level. And the closer we draw together as a church, the more effective we will be carrying out the work of the ministry. Well, the word fellowship isn't used in the passage that we've read this morning, but the concept is certainly there. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul encouraged believers in the church in Corinth to work together as one body. As we mentioned last week, that was something that had been a struggle for that group of believers. Now, they didn't always get along. They didn't always see eye to eye. They were a divided church, and there were jealousies and strife among them. They weren't acting much like the family of God, and in some ways, they were acting like a dysfunctional family. Instead of cooperation, there was competition. Things weren't working the way they were supposed to. And so the Apostle Paul urges them to stop arguing, you know, stop being so divided, and to remember the faith that they share in common, and to be one, because we are one in Christ. And as we read through these verses this morning, we gain insight into the kind of fellowship that God intends for the church, and the kind of fellowship that we are able to experience with one another. Now, first of all, in our passage, we see that fellowship is connecting with one another. Fellowship is about connecting with God's people. It's important to remember that we're not just individuals, but we're also fellow members of God's family. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, it says, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now, the body of Christ, that's one of Paul's favorite descriptions for the church. He uses that several places throughout his epistles. We are the body of Christ. Now think about the body for a moment. Maybe you've been to a doctor's office and there's a chart hanging there of the different parts of the body. And, you know, we have lots of different parts. We have a head, shoulders, knees and toes, right? Everybody, sing along. No. We have arms and legs. We have hands and feet. We have eyes and ears, all kinds of unique parts of the body. And yet they are all united together as one. We are one body, one organism, one living being. When you go outside, you don't see a hand walking down the sidewalk by its own. That would be sort of creepy. You'd wonder if you were on the Munsters, you know. And, you know, you don't see that. The hand is a part of the body. And you don't see a foot hopping around, you know, by itself. You'd be like, whoa, you know, get me out of here. I'm in the twilight zone. The foot is attached to the body. And Paul is making that connection here, that comparison. He says that is also true in the church. Although there are many different parts, we are one body in Christ. We are connected together. We have been joined together in the Lord by virtue of our common faith. He is the head. Christ is the head. We are hands and feet, and he ministers to the world through us. Now, it's interesting to think about the different people, the different personalities that are a part of Grace Gospel Church. We're all unique. We come from different backgrounds. We have different passions and interests, and yet there's something that unites us together as one. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are one body, then connecting with one another should be a priority for our lives. One way or another, we need to maintain fellowship and work on our relationships that we might grow together. And that's not always easy to do in this day and age. Life becomes busy. We have so many things that come onto our calendar, and we find ourselves at times drifting away. But we need to find a way to connect, to get back, you know, to be connected with church and with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. You might ask somebody, do you belong to a church? And they say, oh, yeah, I go to the church on that street down the road there. Oh, yeah, I know that church. Is that where Pastor so-and-so is serving? I don't know. Haven't been there for a few years. I don't know who the pastor is now. You're thinking, well, then how do you belong to the church if you haven't been there in a few years? What do you mean you belong to a church? In order to belong to a church, you need to be connected and be involved. But that's the attitude in our culture today. We want the church to be there when it's convenient for us, when we need it. But the rest of the time, sometimes we're off doing our own thing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, don't let it become a habit to drift away. Now, I know that all of us miss from time to time. Even the pastor misses from time to time. My family is sick today, and they're not here, or at least a couple of them are. You know, we go on vacation, we have sick days, and that's understandable. But it can become a habit if we let it. You know, the alarm clock will go off, and, you know, hit the snooze button. Oh, this is my only day to sleep in. Not this week. It's okay if I just miss this one week. You know, I just sleep in. And then next week comes around, and, you know, we do it again. Oh, just another week, you know, just one more time. Then the next week, you know, something else comes up, and then something else, and pretty soon we've drifted away. We've been away for a long time. We're losing that connection. We need to stay connected because we're part of a family. Now, I wonder how many hours the players on a football team spend practicing together, or assembling together, preparing for the Super Bowl. You know, tonight is the Super Bowl. The Patriots and the Falcons, and I imagine the last couple of weeks, they have done nothing but prepare for that big game. You know, they've spent hours and hours and hours together, you know, working together. And, you know, I mean, Tom Brady is a great player. But just imagine Tom Brady said to his teammates, I'm not going to see you guys for a while. You know, I know the Super Bowl's coming up in a couple of weeks, but I'm not going to be around. I'm not going to be at the stadium. You know, I'm not going to make it to practice. I'm not going to make it to see film. You know, coach, don't call me. My telephone's going to be off. I'm going to be off fishing, you know, somewhere warm. You know, imagine, you know, he's a great, talented player, but if that's how he approaches the game, how well do you think the team is going to do when they step out onto the field? You know, they're going to be out of sync. He's going to be missing passes. You know, he needs to be in sync with his receivers and his running back and his linemen. He needs them. They're important. You know, he's a great player, but he can't do it on his own. The players need each other. And we face spiritual battles every day of our lives. But if we're off, isolated, on our own, disconnected from our family, then we're going to struggle. It's going to be difficult. We need to be connected. Fellowship is also about complementing one another. We complement each other's strengths. And God gives us all different abilities, and He gives us different passions, and then He brings us together, and we're able to serve together. And what you're good at might be different than what I'm good at, but together, we're a whole. We see that in verses 15 through 18. Paul says, you know, just imagine this conversation going on inside of your body. Just kind of pretend that, you know, the members of your body could speak to one another. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, is it for this reason any the less a part of the body? And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. Well, these verses remind us that we are all unique. Each one of us has different gifts and abilities. None of us are exactly the same, and that's a good thing. God puts people in the body where He wants them. He brings people together and arranges the church so that we can be a blessing to each other and to those around us. The church needs you. Sometimes we lose sight of that. We start feeling discouraged and we wonder, what do I have to offer? You know, wow, she's got such a beautiful singing voice. Well, I wish I could sing. I can't sing, you know, worth a lick. I wish I could do a solo. Wow, he's such a great teacher. I wish I could lead a Bible study. But I'm not very good up front in front of people. Wow, she's such a talented piano player. I can't even play an instrument. Boy, he's such a great leader. I wish I could organize meetings. And on, we play that on in our mind, and doubts creep in, and we start to feel like we don't really fit in. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants to distract us. He wants us to get discouraged. He wants us to lose sight of how special we are, that God made us special to be a blessing to others. If we start comparing ourselves with others, then we're distracted from the special role that God has given to you. The truth is, God doesn't want you to be exactly like somebody else. He wants you to be the person He made you to be. Because there's only one you, and we need that person. We need you. Maybe it's your smile that brings joy to others. Maybe it's your gift of compassion that, you know, that just sort of brings the love of Christ into the lives of others. Maybe it's your willingness to help out in different ways that really makes a difference. You probably don't even consider that a special gift, but chances are people are thinking about you and saying, boy, I appreciate that person. I'm so glad they're a part of our church. Think of how boring the church would be if we looked exactly alike and all did the same thing and said the same things and acted the same way. Our ministry would be terribly out of balance. Each person is valuable to the body. We need people with a heart for evangelism to encourage us to share our faith. We need people with a passion for discipleship to help us grow in our Christian lives. We need prayer warriors to remind us how much we need God's strength and wisdom. We need people who love children to raise up the next generation and to invite us into that important work. We need people with a heart for service to inspire us to share the love of Christ in the community around us. We need people with a passion for missions to remind us that God is working out there in the world, and we can be a part of that work. We need people with a heart for worship to lead us into the presence of God. And we could go on and on and on. There are so many different ways to serve, and God uses each and every one of us. Every role is essential. If we all had the gift of evangelism, well, there might be a lot of people who would come to know Christ, but who would help them grow in their faith? If we all had the gift of teaching, we would probably have great conversations and learn all kinds of things. But who would inspire us to go out into the world and to live out our faith, to reach out to others? We need each other. Verse 21 goes on to say, the eyes cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Well, how arrogant it would be to imagine that we don't need anyone else. I'm okay on my own. I can do it by myself. You know, I'm good. I don't need other people. I don't need the church. Boy, how can we imagine that we could do it all on our own? Imagine that you're going to a concert at the high school, and a friend of yours tells you, boy, they're really good this year. They're really talented. That band director has them whipped into shape. You know, you ought to go see them. And so you do. And, you know, you go into the auditorium and you sit down and you're waiting for the curtain to come up. Like, all right, this is going to be great. I'm ready for a great concert. And the curtain comes up. And what do you see? All of the members of the band are huddled around the drums fighting. You know, and they're shouting at each other, I want to play the drums tonight. You know, you played them at the last concert. And someone else says, no, I get to play the drums. I got the drumsticks. Ha ha. You know, and somebody else says, well, what good is that going to do? I got the drums over here. And the band director is just standing there off to the side, shaking his head and saying, guys, what are you doing? Look, all those instruments, the cello and the flute and the clarinet. And, you know, they're all sitting on the floor waiting for someone to pick them up and play them. Guys, you're all important. You all are very talented at what you do, and every part is important. But if we're fighting over the drums, then we're not going to be able to put on a concert tonight. And that's part of what the problem was in the church in Corinth. Everyone wanted to be in the spotlight. Everyone wanted to be up front. Everyone wanted to receive the glory. They missed the point that when they served and when they used their gifts, Christ is the one who receives the glory. The church couldn't conduct its work and ministry unless they were working together. Well, how do we know what our role is in the church? Well, get involved. You know, just ask yourself, what is it that I get passionate about? What is it that excites me? What are the things that God has given to me that I do well? What are the needs that I see and think, wow, I could do something there? Start serving and you'll find it. And again, maybe you don't even think about the things that you're already doing as being a ministry, and yet they are. If you're following Christ and sharing his love with others, he's using you already to be a blessing to others. We need to make sure we let others know how much we appreciate them. You know, go up to someone and say, boy, I'm glad you're here today. I really enjoy your presence. Wow, thank you for working with the children. I remember when I was a child and children's church or Sunday school or VBS. And I remember those lessons carried with me the rest of my life. I thank you for what you do there. Wow, I really appreciated your insight in Bible study tonight. I had that same question and I didn't ask it, so I'm glad that you did. And wow, thank you for sharing that song. God used it to touch my heart. We can let each other know that we appreciate each other. Every one of us is important. There are no unnecessary parts in the body. The passage also shows us this morning that fellowship is caring for one another. The Apostle Paul tells us that the members of the body are to look out for one another with mutual care and concern. And he says in verse 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, the church is a place where people are there for each other, in the good times and in the bad times. The experiences that affect one member affect the whole body. Now, a few weeks ago, I was struggling with a kidney stone. And I woke up one morning, I think it was a Thursday morning or a Wednesday, I don't even know. It was a blur. But there was just this dull ache in my lower back, and I knew what it was. I've been there before, and I just told myself, I told Charity, this is not going to be a good day. And, you know, I went to lay down trying to sleep, but when you have that pain, you can't sleep. You know, I roll on my side, and it's there. Roll on my stomach, and it's there. You know, roll on my back, and it's there. I sit up, and it's there. Go to the bed or the recliner, and it doesn't get any better. And throughout the day, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse, you know, until I'm really, really hurting. And when I was going through that, my whole body was going through that experience. My stomach wasn't saying,
oh, boy, I'm glad that's in the kidneys, you know, and not over here. Because let me tell you, my stomach was churning. You know, and my head wasn't saying, wow, I'm glad that's down there and not way up here, because my head was throbbing. You know, my muscles weren't saying, oh, I'm glad it's not, you know, a muscular problem. I'm glad it's, you know, sort of over there, a kidney problem, because my muscles were aching. The whole body felt that pain together. You know, I was hurting. My whole person, my whole body. If the members could communicate, they would have said, boy, I'm sorry. You know, boy, we got to get through this together. And Paul is telling us that's also true in the church. When one person in the church is going through an adversity, we're all going through that with them. We should feel their pain. Our hearts should break for them and with them. And we reach out to do whatever we can to help. And maybe the only thing we can do is to sit beside them and put our arm around them and tell them that we love them. But even that is important. Maybe it doesn't seem like much to you, but it's important to know that someone is there. And also when someone's rejoicing, when someone's going through a blessing, we're excited to share in that joy together. You know, the news comes through. Somebody has a baby, and, you know, we celebrate. Sunday morning, we're excited. Hey, praise. You know, we have a praise to share. You know, there's a new baby in the church. Or when somebody is married, we're excited. Hey, you know, let's celebrate with them. We send a card, and we say, congratulations. When one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. That's the way it is in the body. Well, it's amazing to know that we're loved and that we're supported by so many caring people. Maybe there's moments in your life when you start to wonder if there's anyone that's there, if anyone cares, if you're all alone in the midst of the struggles that you're going through. Because when we're struggling, you know, sometimes our mind plays tricks on us, and we start to think those things. We start to wonder, boy, am I all alone in this? Does anybody care? And then all of a sudden, you know, you open up the mail and there's a card from someone in the church, and you realize, wow, people are thinking about me. And then the phone rings and somebody asks how you're doing, and there's a word of encouragement. You think, wow, people are praying for me. And then somebody shows up at the door with a dish of food, and you think, wow, boy, people really do care. They're really in this with me. You're not alone. People are lifting you up before the Lord. There's an entire church full of people who would do just about anything for you. We're not alone. We see that idea expressed throughout the New Testament and other places as well, that the church is a place where people care for one another, where people are there to support one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. We are to weep with those who weep. When the Holy Spirit lays someone on your heart, you know, and just, you know, he does that sometimes. You know, we start thinking about someone. Oh, I wonder how that person is doing. No, reach out. Let them know that you're thinking of them. We need to be sensitive to the needs of others and pay attention when others are hurting. Make a point to pray for one another throughout the week. Let people know how much you care. Again, Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Well, there's times when life throws things at us, heavy burdens that we just can't carry. They feel like crushing burdens, but we don't have to carry them alone. We know that God is with us and he gives us strength. And one of the ways that he ministers to us is by surrounding us with brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we push them away, then we're pushing away the help that God provides. God gives us a church family to encourage us. So why is fellowship a core value at Grace Gospel Church? Why is it so important to us that we put that on our list of items that we cannot do without? Well, there's several reasons. Because this is how God designed the Christian life to work. Together, we help each other grow in the faith. We find encouragement through the challenges of life. We hold one another accountable and inspire each other to live out our faith. And as the world sees our love for one another, it is a powerful testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's how God meant the Christian life to work. If we're doing it on our own, we're not doing it right. And because it is pride that causes a person to imagine that they don't need anyone else, that's pride, and it gets us into trouble. When we cut ourselves off from other Christians and don't have anything to do with other believers, it's going to be easier for us to be led astray.
Because being a part of a church is not just about being blessed. It's also about being a blessing to others. Yes, we are blessed as we gather together. We are encouraged. We are uplifted. You know, we do love to be here. But God uses us to uplift and encourage and to strengthen those around us. It's not just about being blessed. It's also about being a blessing to others. Maybe you remember the old classic TV show, The Lone Ranger. Remember that show, black and white? It was a great, great old cowboy. You know, he wore that white hat and that mask to cover his true identity. And he rode in on his trusty steed. Hi-ho, Silver, away! You know, he was the Lone Ranger. He didn't need an army of people to save the day. But even the Lone Ranger had friends. Even the Lone Ranger had his trusty sidekick, Tonto. Even the Lone Ranger, you know, needed people to help him out from time to time. Well, there are no Lone Rangers when it comes to living the Christian life. We are stronger together than we are apart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us, for bringing us into your family, for bringing us into a relationship with you, in which you are a part of our lives every day. We thank you that we get to know you more and more and experience your presence in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you've done even more than that, and you've brought us into fellowship with other Christians, with a family. We have a family that we're a part of, and we belong to that family. And we're an important member of that family. Lord, we thank you that you work through us as a church. Lord, you give us the privilege of serving you, and it's amazing to see, you know, all of the different ways that you gift the people in this church, and it's a privilege to work together with them. I thank you for the warmth that we have here. We know that not every church is like that, and like the Corinthian church. And there are a lot of churches that are struggling with that, but I thank you that this is a church that cares, that we care about each other. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you. It's a privilege to be here. Lord, we pray that you would continue to keep our relationships strong. And we pray that you would help us to welcome others in and make them feel loved. Lord, we pray that we would serve you together, side by side, and carry the gospel into the world, that others would see the love of God expressed in our relationships with one another. Again, we thank you, Lord, for your love, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the relationship we have with you through Christ, that not only we enjoy today, but we will enjoy for all eternity. We pray this in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.